AFI. Backstage Stories.
Yes, sir. The beard is back off. It's in a trash can in my bathroom, and the mustache is back, taking control of my face, massaging your eyeballs for the pleasure of the sight.
Massaging your eyeballs? Ooh. Hey, Jordan.
You like that?
I like that, yeah.
Hey, Mr. Bat. What you been up to, buddy? It's been a long week, huh?
It's been a long week. Busy week for me, because I don't think I have told you yet, but today is my last day being responsible for all the M94.5 podcasts.
Really? Today is the last day that you're the guy doing that?
Yes. It does not affect our project.
So we're not no canceled worries. After this.
No, this is not a breakup call.
God.
No, it's just that you know, I'm doing this thing, volontariat, this 2-year kind of traineeship thing. Mm-hmm. And before that, I had that position to be the guy in charge of all the podcast projects, watching after them, etc. And within the last few months, there have been different conflicts regarding my schedule, regarding different projects, between that role and my new role. And so I finally they have someone else to do it. So today is my last day, and tomorrow someone else will overtake.
Man, that's a really big landmark, man. I mean, you did this position for a while and you did it really well. And the fact that you were in charge of it was the whole reason that we were able to even start the show. So thank you for your amazing service to this great radio station and to your friend and to this show, Moritz. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Always a pleasure. No, but we'll keep doing a thing. That's cool.
Okay. They're just not going to broadcast the show now, but we can keep recording them.
We can keep recording and then let's see what happens with those records.
Oh, man. I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm a little bit dressed up because I just did live television about an hour ago.
What? Television?
Yeah, it's like a streaming network and a television program in Hamburg called, I would say Tide. I thought it was Tide like a wave, but it's Tide. And I think they should just start calling it Tide, okay, to be fair.
Yeah, like, Hamburg, it's next to the sea, etc. makes total sense.
Yeah, and it's written in full caps, and it's kind of a catchy name, Tide, Hamburg, Tide. But yeah, Tide is this streaming channel that also has radio and also has television. And they brought me on a couple of hours ago to do a performance and an interview about the new album coming.
Dude, that's great.
That was cool.
Everything I hear of you is, okay, I got an interview here, I got they play my song there, I got another interview here. That's amazing, man.
Oh, yeah, right now I'm really happy with it. Man, it's so crazy. You know how on the last podcast I mentioned this guy, Sebastian Schaffstein from Bayern 3, and I wanted to ask him about how they handled the rotation thing?
And you forgot.
I did, and... And the funny thing was, yesterday at like 5:30, he randomly called me and he said, "Hey, Jordan, I know we haven't spoken in a long time. I mean, he and I are friends, but we're not super close. It had been maybe a year since we caught up." And he said, "I'm over here at Bayern 3 and we're about to start our Mensch Bayern program, in a couple of hours. And we're going to play your song. How about you give us a call and, we can do a little interview." And I was like, oh my God, of course, absolutely, because it's such a big platform. And I don't even know if he knew about the other interview with this other host, Brigitte, because it was the differences were so funny. I mean, she had me on this, I think the same program the week before, but It was, you know, she said it was going to be on around 7:40 and we spoke for like 8 minutes. And then by the time our segment came on, mine and hers, it came on at like 8:15 and she boiled the interview down to one statement that she dubbed in German. So, you know, I had my mom listening, I had friends listening, I had people in Germany, UK, everywhere listening. And then I was so, you know, I was so thankful that they did it, but I was a little embarrassed that they didn't get to hear the interview that I thought they were going to hear. And then all of a sudden, Sebastian calls and he's like, hey, let's just do it again. And so I asked, hey, man, do you know if it's exactly going to play around 7:40? And he said, oh, yeah, for sure. I'm here in the booth now. I'll just do it now. And I said, oh, okay, cool. And I said, is the interview going to be dubbed? Because I would really like my mom to hear it. And he said, oh, no, of course not. No, we're going to leave your answers in English and then I'm going to translate you after. I'm going to ask in German and then translate in German after you speak. And I was like, that's a great way of doing it. That's a great method, I think.
Dude, and it's a great gesture anyway, I guess, because what normally happens when you have artists and or whoever for interviews at a radio station is exactly what you described with the first host. Just picking one phrase, one statement, whatever. Maybe if it's a foreign language, like you mentioned, dubbing it, etc. And it's basically on big radio stations super uncommon that they play full interviews longer than, let's say, 1:30 or 2 minutes, and not even dubbing it. So that's super cool for you.
Yeah, that's really uncommon, right? I mean, after that first interview, my first thought was like, okay, you know, I definitely cannot and should not take that personally. It's the big league. It's a major station. They have really tight schedules. That's what they do. And like everyone told me to not think about it. And I was like, all right, cool. It's just how it is. And it's so cool that this...
How it is.
Yeah. It's just so cool that they kind of bent the rules a little bit. And, you know, the questions were... you know, interesting, and it was really relaxed with him. Sometimes when I talk to a new host that I don't know what kind of questions they're going to be, then I can be really nervous. But it was really relaxed with him, and it was like a 4-minute conversation, like 4 minutes of airtime plus the song. So if Sebastian's listening, I thanked you a lot yesterday, but I'll thank you again. It's really, really nice, and I really appreciate that. So if you're listening to this and you haven't heard the interview, Sebastian was so kind as to immediately send me a recording, which is not so common. Usually it takes weeks to get these big stations to send you the interviews.
Yeah.
But I have it on my website. We'll put the link in the description, jordanprincetunes.com. It's on the front page. You just have to press play. And he's going to ask things in German, translate my answers after me in German, but my answers are in English if you want to listen to it. So you can also go to the link on my Instagram account. But yeah, man, it's been a pretty cool few days for music, I have to say. I'm really, a roll with the radio.
You could have done some artsy-fartsy name dropping on that interview, though.
he had to cut one answer for time, and that's where I had mentioned Tim and Cosma, like people who were going to, you know, and I think I mentioned you guys too for being in the band. We were going to do a tour and stuff after the record drops, but he just kept it to three of the four questions.
Easy.
But easy. Listen, today on Tide, we did talk about the podcast and he gave it it was a really cool promo actually. So I did it from here, from home, and we did a live stream. He called me a bit earlier. We did a sound check and we tested all the sound and stuff for the session. And then I watched it on my phone. And then I saw when he played my music video that I was up next. So I just cut everything off and he called me on Skype, asked a few really cool questions. I played two of the songs and then we talked a bit more and then he asked for one more song. And in that gap before the last song, he asked me something about the setup I have here with the interface and if I'm used to doing this. And I said, yeah, well, actually, I use this setup every week because I have a podcast with my bass player. And he said, oh, what's the podcast called? And I laughed a little bit and I was like, well, it's called Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. And it's about, you know, interviewing. I said, we haven't done it in a while because of Corona, but it's, you know, interviewing people who live in different countries and try and work in a creative field. And he was like, oh, Oh, well, that sounds really interesting. Kind of a funny name. He's like, you know, you're kind of an artsy-fartsy immigrant, are you not?
And you're like, yeah, and that's the whole idea.
I was like, yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And then at the end, after the last song, we were saying the thank yous and the goodbyes. And he asked again on the live feed, what's the name of that podcast? He said he was going to check it out. He says it sounds like a cool idea. So we got a big shout out today on live stream from Hamburg, nice. Which is cool.
You know what I find pretty amusing every time I hear those kind of stories, like we talked about, and more the Bayern 3 part, Sebastian, regarding Sebastian Schaffstein, and then that it's super uncommon what he did. That no matter how big a company or an institution might be or whatever, if you have a good connection to one guy, at one point anything is possible.
Right.
That's so funny. No matter what it is, could be anything. If you know this one guy, this one girl, whoever, and you link up and you have a good connection, somehow everything is possible. That's a super funny.
Yeah,
we had our conversation about realizations growing up and adultness, mm-hmm. and that's one of the biggest, I guess.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I think I started noticing that was something that actually happens. When I started trying to get into concerts I didn't have tickets to, I would know someone who ran the bar or someone who worked as a crew member or someone who was a bouncer or something, or I happened to know some guy who was like filming the concert that evening. And then before you knew it, I was already inside the venue and I was like, oh, this is what they talk about when they talk about knowing people.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's only made more and more sense. You know, it's only made more and more sense as you get older, you know, like you said. If I hadn't known Sebastian, then I wouldn't have had the chance for not only a second interview, but like a longer and more an interview with more room to breathe, with more explanation and stuff, which is so rewarding for a small musician. So yeah, it's really all about people that you know. It's really cool. It's really cool. And yeah, I'm really thankful about that. What would you say was like your first experience where you didn't get something or you couldn't get something a certain way, but you knew somebody who like let you in or gave you a tip or something?
Whew. I guess in situations like you just talked about, like about, I don't know, concerts, sports events or whatever, pretty early, I once went to a soccer game and I had a ticket, but for the completely wrong stand within the stadium.
Oh yeah.
And a friend of mine knew the right guy, and 2 minutes later, I had perfect tickets. But it is a thing I experience over and over again, because of the business I work in. Because you're like, you're a young guy like me and starting your own things. I don't know, it could be those podcast projects, some hosting some events or whatever. And they're like, yeah, okay. And you see those big companies and those big media outlets and you think like, okay, it's so unrealistic to get there and to work for those people and to get in this bubble or whatever.
Right.
And then... a friend of yours hits you up and says, hey, we need a guy for this job at, I don't know, ProSiebenBR, whatever.
Yeah.
Next weekend, just call this guy. And you're like, okay, and should I send a CV or something or what is happening now? He's like, no, just give him a call, show them one of the things you did.
Right.
Within the last time and you're fine. Go there. This is your, this is the budget, etc. Suck.
It's crazy. Sometimes it happens so fast, and like if you have the right connection, like the right person, they do all the hard work for you. And for them, it's not hard work. For them, it's just like, hey, I got this buddy. It's you know, he's got a good track. It's popping right now. We should just put him on and do a little interview. And probably the other person's just like, yeah, sounds good. We should, you know, we got to fill some time. Let's do it.
No.
And it just works so easily. But if you're doing it by yourself and you don't know anybody, then you're like, oh man, you know, are they, do they want to accept like a physical copy? Do I have to mail something or do I have to write emails to some spam box and they'll never get them? And you're just hoping or like, it's really crazy. It's really crazy. But it's really funny too. Like I would have to say from the last 5 years, I don't usually think about this, but a few weeks ago I had this thought where I realized how many musicians I know in Munich just by having played like this open mic or playing this support show or playing, you know, this festival or something. And then I thought from there, I was like, oh, I do know a lot of musicians, huh? And then I thought, how many different organizations, like people within certain organizations in Munich I know because of the musicians. And then I was like, oh, well, actually, I know the person who runs that website and like that concert series, or like, oh, I know a person who actually, you know, works there. And then it even spread even more in my head. And I was like, it was just a total shower thoughts moment where I was like, oh, yeah, well, actually, I know the photographer for that thing. I know the manager from that band. I know the blah, blah, blah from the blah, blah, blah. And then I realized more and more, I was like, sometimes I really feel almost absent from a kind of community living here. Just occasionally I have a thought where I'm like, oh man, I just have a few friends. I don't really think too much about Munich as like a home. And then sometimes I have these thoughts where I realize how many people that I got lucky enough to meet within these first few months that spread. I mean, Sebastian Schaffstein, we talked about, I met him in my first like 3 months by chance. And Sascha Sienmann, who's also another radio host. And these little things, you know, like then that led to me knowing these guys kind of from Hauskonzerte, and then that led to doing concerts for them. And then that led me to meeting Henny, and that led me to having like a band that was able to play the Pulse session. And then from Pulse, and it just spread and spread and spread. And now it's like, the other day I really like tried to calculate how many, you know, organizations, communities, and people and musicians that I just happen to have met through people or through parties and stuff that I've either needed something from, or they've needed something from me, or it's just been a nice collaborative friendship in a way. And it really struck me. I was like, man, I've been really lucky in terms of, you know, sometimes I think I didn't get very far with stuff, but actually just in terms of meeting people and spreading my feelers out, I got pretty lucky in the last few years, I think.
Yeah, and that's something super important. It's something you could always get back to. You came to Munich in 2014 or 15?
15, yeah.
And met Sebastian Schaffstein. Now it's 5 years later and it brought you to the chance. The story we started, this Beindrei thing.
Yeah, exactly. Then it brought back to Beindrei. It's a really full circle thing that's pretty cool. At first I got nervous too when this, just to touch back on this Tide guy. So I misread something in the email, and when he called, so I knew that we would talk at first on Skype, but I thought in my head it was actually just a radio interview that would be live. But instinctively, I still was like, well, I'm going to meet him for the first time on Skype on the video. So I put on this nice shirt. And I'll make some nice lighting. And I was like, well, you know, just to make a good first impression, you know? And then we spoke for a bit, and we were talking about the sound, and I tested the vocals. He's like, all right, so everything sounds really clean, really cool. And then he said, do you want to go ahead and try the guitar? And it was this like beautiful, long moment where I waited so long. I thought he might think my computer froze. Because I just smiled and I went, a guitar. Oh, guitar. Oh, okay. We're going to do a session. Okay. Right. Sorry. And he's like, they didn't tell you. Did you not get an email? I thought we talked about it. I was like, yeah, of course. I just misunderstood something. Just give me a second. So then my first impression was immediately full of apologies and like scrambling around. And I was just wearing shorts. And then I was like, oh man, now it looks like I'm wearing boxers under the camera and stuff. And then we set everything up, but a weird thing was, I don't know if you know why. Okay. So for example, when I do live streaming through Skype or through Zoom, or if I were to do it through here, for the podcast, I would do my acoustic direct line into the interface. And then I would put the mic in the other channel, and then I would have both channels going into one on my, you know, if it's GarageBand or Logic or whatever. And I can change the volume of the gain manually. And then usually the sound is pretty good. I did two or three shows like this and the test was totally fine. But I did it with him today and it just refused to work properly. And I didn't understand why. My battery in the guitar was good. The cable was good. I could see that the guitar was coming through on the feed. I could see that the channel was working and I could see it on the computer and I could hear it in my headphones. And he just couldn't get the feed in the way that I was hearing it for some reason. He said that the vocals were like a few dBs above zero, which just means in normal speak, it just means like it's a normal healthy volume. And the guitar was like minus 30, which is really, really, really quiet. And for me, I was almost distorting it. It was so loud. And I don't know why we couldn't get it. So at the end, actually, I had to unplug everything and just use my vocal mic at a distance and play really acoustic and like play both into a microphone, which he could mix it a little bit live from his studio, just taking out some EQ and stuff. But
did you do it over Skype?
Yeah, we did it over Skype, but it's worked before with doing two channels.
Did you check the audio setting for Skype? Because I had the same problem as recording here. When Skype has this button to automatically
adjust the volume,
take care of the levels. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that too. I saw that and I clicked it and then we tried again and I messed with this. I have this, the Focusrite interface, the red one that everybody has. And I don't know why. I did some concerts, never had issues. And then today it just didn't work. And eventually we just came to the conclusion that probably it was just something on his end with maybe the fact that it goes through a live stream. Maybe it goes through like a YouTube company or something. I don't know. We couldn't get it, but eventually it worked out. We just did it kind of raw, but maybe it works good that way.
That's cool. But one thing I want to get back to, because we have it in our opener, the backstage stories. And one thing, because you mentioned misunderstandings in this email, and I wanted to talk to you about the whole idea of misunderstandings and to what kind of situations it has led you during your musical career in Germany. Because I remember some parts, and this is no front, but funny situations like having misunderstandings and issues with, I remember us driving to Gelsenkirchen last year for a concert, and there was a misunderstanding the first time because you totally underestimated the sheer distance from Munich to Gelsenkirchen. So is that a thing, misunderstandings in emails, in phone calls, in gig organization, etc., that is still a big thing for you as an artsy-fartsy musician in Germany?
I mean, if there's mistakes on my part about,
I don't want to blame you for that
distance. No. I mean, no, I'm not taking any blame. It's literally just like the fact of it. So if something's on email, like today's session being interview and song, I looked back and it is there. I just missed it. So if it's, and it was in English, because my label writes to me in English. So that is just like a classic JP mistake. I just read it too fast. I got excited. I said, interview, I'm going to do it. Cool. And that was just
you, my son of a bitch, count me in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. and I just missed it. But sometimes the language thing, of course, causes some miscommunications. And sometimes there's, I think, besides language, the biggest thing that causes miscommunications is the middleman. For example, was this Gelsenkirchen concert the same one where we played in the, it was kind of an open stage, but in kind of a big open barn, and that girl opened up for us? It was you, me, and Mark, and it was a long haul, kind of like a halle, and we ate dinner outside with that with the girl?
No, that was Böblingen.
That was Böblingen. Oh, what was Gelsenkirchen?
Gelsenkirchen was the thing where we played two shows and had to carry around all of our gear. Oh,
that was the double concert, right.
On this little cart through town.
Right. Oh, man. I forgot about that.
Weird trip.
Did we drive back that night or did we stay at a hotel? We stayed at a hotel, right?
We had this hotel and there was a misunderstanding regarding the whole staying overnight thing. And then we had this hotel which was super far away. And for all people from Germany, they always tell you in Nordrhein-Westfalen, within the Ruhrpott, everything is so close to each other. But we have been at the end of the fucking world in that hotel.
Right. Yeah, the hotel was like 13 or 14. No, it was even further. Wasn't it like 20 or 30 kilometers away from the city?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
It was something. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And yeah, you're right. I remember them telling us, or I understood that the hotel was really close.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like 2 or 3 kilometers away. Oh, man. All right. I remember that room now. Yeah, we watched Into the Wild came on, the Emil Hirsch movie about Christopher McCandless. I remember that was on the TV. Yeah, you and me stayed in one room and Mark stayed in his own room. Right. With that one, yeah, I just barely remember that concert. I remember playing two stages, and at that first stage, after us was this like really big hippie band. Everyone was kind of like sunburned and barefoot with like homemade tubas and ropes and stuff. And then we like hauled ass with this trolley over to the other stage, which was like a smaller one, and we played before like an Irish rock cover band.
Yeah.
That was super weird. Like cramming everything
to fit in there.
No,
totally not.
We like shoved all our stuff into that back tent and, yeah, I mean, it was still fun though. I mean, I love playing live, but the miscommunication that I was thinking of was in, Böblingen. And that was because of this middleman situation where, we had booked that concert and then, you know, I was going through finishing up the final concerts with my previous manager and things were really, really sour and he was holding back still. He never paid me for several concerts, but he was holding back concerts for me. And then I remember like going to the guy, the booker, who was extremely friendly and asking if he had already made a contract with Tony, if I could get my payment separated from the booking fee.
Tony's your ex-manager.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry, man. You know, he said he didn't like the other manager, but he'd already made a contract with him. So Tony kind of beat me to it. And that was like something between 1,000 and 1,300 euros, I think, that we just never got. So that whole concert came out of...
And this guy earned for us driving there, playing a show, and driving back the same night.
What the fuck, man? Yeah. Such a long drive, and we... paying for the gas. I couldn't give you guys anything for doing it. And I hate shows like that where... I felt totally robbed, and I almost just wanted to not do it. But then the guy was so nice, and that was definitely a big miscommunication. What I should have done was called that guy immediately and told him what was going on as soon as there were issues with me and Tony, and just said like, "Hey, I'd love if we could separate the booking fee from the gauge." But yeah, that was a big drama. And the cool thing was actually for my very last concert that was booked through Tony, I spoke to the guy and then I told him the situation. I was like, hey, your concert's really far away from me. It'll be a long journey and I'll have to stay over and it'll be a long journey back. I can't go up there if I can't get paid. And he was like, don't worry. I don't make contracts. I don't do that. I'll just pay you for what you get and I'll pay him for his fee. Keep it totally separate as it should be. And I was like, all right, fantastic. And that's basically, that was the last one. But yeah, with German in general, there's some miscommunications about, you know, if they tell me something quickly, of course I might miss some things, and it's always good to have the band nearby when I'm trying to register things or get something set up with the gear, because then it's just easier. But honestly, sometimes with like with the interview today, I just get excited and read something too fast and misunderstand or I don't expect it. I think a lot of times I'm assuming what something will be like, and then I picture it so much that I don't ensure exactly what's going on. I just think so much about what I think it is. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what about you? I mean, especially like, I guess it's not so hard. I guess you're not often dealing with so many miscommunications, since you're living, in the country of your mother tongue, but maybe with, all the different things that you're organizing, like with different podcasts.
Yeah. There are miscommunications every day. And I want to get to a point. I have another question for you in a minute. Because I don't want to talk about too many miscommunications regarding the language on the language barrier.
Oh, okay.
But pure miscommunication, like just people having different expectations for a project, etc. That happens in my position basically every day. You got to regard that I am full time working at M94.5, and I do many projects with people who work there, like I used to do, just besides their university or whatever.
Yeah.
So they only have spare time for those projects, etc. And they're like every time, and that it starts with a schedule, because basically I don't always work from 9 to 5, but I have my times during the day, and many of those people have to go to university through the day and want to do this at night. But that's a point where I want to finish work and enjoy one of your favorite German terms, a Feierabendbier, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that happens very often. That's basically also the reason why I deleted WhatsApp, because it mixed those business topics with private chats so bad, and people hit me up about 11 at night. Hey, what about this project now? And please answer me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there like, no, okay. Just not now. And so those kind of...
I was curious about that.
Those kind of miscommunications happen, like I said, every day. But getting back to your art, what I'm interested in, because in Gelsenkirchen, I felt like, okay, it's been a cool trip, and it's been a cool... all in all, a cool setting there, and exploring a new city, even if it's not that beautiful, to be honest. But it's always cool to get out, get in the car, have a trip with the boys, etc.
Always.
But when we've been there, and you mentioned the bands, this crazy hippie band, those cover bands, those Schlager bands, etc. I just felt like, okay, did they knew who they were about to book, basically you, for this show, and how did they think that this music would fit in? And does that happen to you often, that you're going, that you're playing festivals, shows where other artists are, etc., and you have a feeling like, okay, I have no fucking clue why I am here, because every other musician is doing something completely different that cannot even match the taste of music of the people that listen to my music.
yeah, that's happened several times. I don't know if that was something that was due to Tony's choice of booking, if it was something to do with they were just looking for an act that had an acoustic guitar, or an act that, I don't know, wasn't too expensive or too abrasive or something, that they could just slide into a support slot. I think Tony booked a lot of strange concerts. He also booked a lot of really cool ones, especially in like the 2017-2018 stretch, was some great stuff. But there was also just a lot of strange shows where I really felt like I didn't belong. I haven't had that so much since March of last year. That was when we broke our... that's when we just agreed to stop working together. But Yeah, I mean, I can't think of them off the top of my head. I'd have to look at my previous concert list, but there's definitely been, I mean, always when you go to some, when I'm going to some smaller town and it's not on the way to a bigger city or it's not on the way to a festival and it's not primarily stopping there to do like a radio spot or to do like a promotional spot, and you know that it's, you're just going there to play there, and it's probably just something like background or, yeah, mostly background for these kinds of, you know, if it's like a smaller, if it's like a restaurant that has a, like a little stage in the back, or if it's a cafe or a bar with a stage, and you don't know the town and you don't know why they're really booking you, those are times where I feel really, really out of place. And sometimes it really flips itself on its head and it's a fantastic concert. And sometimes it's such a drag to get through. I'll give you two examples. One example where it was a real big success for us. It was, I think, 2018. Either the end of 2017 or the end of 2018. I remember it was cold. I think it was December. And I was with Mark and my old bassist Jake, and we were booked at this kind of like what would you call the type of restaurant that like Giesinger Garten is? It's a beer garden, but the inside was just, is it like a Wirtshaus?
I don't know Giesinger Garten, to be honest, but I would guess Wirtshaus. Yeah,
yeah, you know, it's a beer garden, but the inside is very old, very Bavarian, like everything's made of wood, everything.
Bavarian food.
Bavarian food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wirtshaus. Exactly. Yeah. So we got booked at this Wirtshaus, which is just, for those who don't know, it's just extremely traditional for Bavaria. It's very nice. But you don't really feel like an indie musician would play there. You kind of imagine that they would have like German folks music with like accordions, yeah, and like Lederhosen and stuff. It's very traditional. Everything's made of wood. The food is really, really traditional. The upside is that the beer is usually really good. and if you're in Munich, go to Giesinger Garten. Go to Giesinger Garten. It's really great. But anyway, we got booked there. And when we arrived, it felt so strange. You walk in and it's a Wirtshaus. And there's like a little stage on the other side of the wall, and there's just a few wall plugins, and there's not really a great view of anything. You can see some posters of some other artists that have played there, but you can tell it just feels like a local place. You know, maybe the owner's daughter is a singer and she does cover songs or something. It just didn't feel like a place that musicians like us are going to make any sort of nice impression. And we loaded everything in. We did our sound check. We went upstairs. They had like a backstage area, which was really cool. It was a very open space. We got to eat dinner up there and lounge about a little while. And the lucky thing was that it was one of those special places that I've discovered since playing in Germany, which just happens to have a really great following for its musical nights. I don't know why. I think it's really great. I think it's really hard to make this happen in America, but certain places in Germany, even in these really small towns, sometimes have a really dedicated following to one location that, you know, every Thursday or every Friday or two Fridays out of a month, they have a special live act that the people definitely don't know, or maybe sometimes they do. And people go there just to see what the music will be. And they, you know, they dress up a little bit, they go out with their partners, and sometimes, you know, it's usually an older audience. And I've played a few places like that that just turned into a great concert. We went down for showtime. The place was totally full. They gave the people some time to eat first, so we weren't, you know, just background for dinner, which is something I was really worried about. And yeah, they turned the tables a bit more and everyone just had drinks on the table. And then we introduced ourselves and started. And immediately I felt like the audience was completely engaged. We played a long show. They gave us two encores. We sold some good merch. We sold a lot of CDs and vinyls, and we signed autographs at the door, and they tipped us extra on top of the gauge. You know, we had a hotel that was really nice, and I wish I could remember the name of this place. I'll have to look it up. But that was one of those kind of misunderstandings that turned into a really lucky surprise. And the second example that was not good was, I won't mention I can tell you who it was off mic, but I don't want to mention the company. But a German company, hired me to do a corporate event. And originally, the event was going to be outside at this open air as part of like a business event to celebrate their colleagues for, I don't know, X amount of years of their service, or just to celebrate like some festival for the company. And, you know, sometimes these kinds of things are a little boring, but they pay really well. And they just wanted me with an acoustic guitar. So simple setup, wasn't too far away. Got there on time, sound checked, the stage and everything. And then I went back to the hotel first, to rest for a while. And then when I came back, this storm had come into town, changed the whole situation. So they had canceled the entire outside event and they had pushed everything into like this emergency conference room that was attached to one of the businesses that they were celebrating. And it was this big, blank, boring, beige hall with a bunch of, you know, gray padded chairs and, you know, cheap plastic wood fold-out tables and, you know, plastic white sheets on top to put your drinks on and, you know, glaringly white fluorescent tubes on top. It's just like the worst circumstances for setting a mood, you know? And I was already a bit bummed out by this change, and it seemed like no one really knew where I was supposed to go. Like I was by myself and I was trying to figure out where the promoter was, but I was in a certain area where there was like some dialect and they just didn't get what was going on and I didn't get what was going on. And finally I ended up where I was supposed to be, and I was supposed to go on after this guy who was giving a presentation about mountain climbing. He hiked some impressive mountain and he was supposed to end, let's say, at like 7, but he went on to like 7:35. And so I was waiting forever, and then I was so irritated. And by the time I started, then the sound equipment didn't work. Then they had to replace the mic. Then the sound was so bad that they didn't even have a monitor for me. And instead, they only had the sound from the very back end, the other side of the hall behind the people, these two big speakers. So there was a huge delay where I would strum the guitar, and then like half a second later, I would hear it from the other side of the room. So I had no way of hearing how I sound, and whatever I did hear of myself had this delay. So it was like this where I couldn't do anything, and I hated it. I hated it. I was so frustrated. I just wanted to go. I had like a minimum amount of time. I'm a little bit embarrassed of myself because I was a little unprofessional. I was pretty clearly frustrated, and I just, you know, like most of the people left after this guy. So then I was playing for a half empty room in this big blank white hall with terrible sound. And I just played song after song after song. I think I had a minimum, they said something like 30 minutes or, you know, 6 or 7 songs. And I did 7 songs back to back, zero talking, zero introduction, barely even saying like thank you to the handful of people that were listening. And I just finished it and just unplugged my guitar and just packed up and was like, please just put on house music. I want to get out of here. I just wrapped everything up. I had to talk to a few people at the end and I had to like, you know, put on that smile and be like, yeah, it was great. Thanks a lot. Yeah, no worries. I understand. The circumstances change. It's all right. Things happen. No, it was all good. I hope you had fun. I hope you liked it. Signed the bill for the gauge, and then I just got the fuck out of there, man. It was just the worst situation, and I don't blame them because of the weather change, but man, it was just this misunderstanding of like, maybe it's just better that we don't do this concert, guys. You know, like I think I would have been happier if they said they, you know, they want to pay me, you know, a third of the gauge or something for my travel and my time, but they don't think it works anymore. I would have just totally been happy to do that and just drink beers in the back and not worry about that. That's how an example of how these misunderstandings can be great for me and how they can be really, really bad. But thankfully, I haven't had a show like that in a long time.
Hello, dear artsers and fartsers. Congratulations to all of you who have listened up to this point. If you did so, I got bad news for you. This is Mo. It is Thursday, pretty early in the morning, around 8. And we gotta end this episode here. Because there were technical issues on my side of the recording when we recorded on Tuesday, and we could not fix it within the past 2 days. That's the reason why we need to stop the episode here. What are you missing? Not that much. Mainly a talk from Jordan about prostitution being legal in Germany. And that's basically it. And we promise you that we will give you our everything next week when we will record our first episode back in person. We'll meet in person for the first time since this whole lockdown thing. Plus, to give you at least a little bit of the rest of the episode, here is Jordan, because his track was fine and had no issues. Here's Jordan telling some of the best Chuck Norris jokes he knows. You're welcome.
So this is a famous one. You probably know this one. Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down. Yeah, that, yeah, okay. Okay, I can do better than that. When you can spell Chuck Norris in a game of Scrabble, you win forever. There was one more that I thought was so funny. Chuck Norris can drown a fish. That's so stupid. And for those who enjoyed today's episode, please go to wherever you listen to this podcast and give us a good rating, review, or comment. Please share it with your friends or even just talk about it, because word of mouth goes a long way for a show like this. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Bartscheider, produziert für M94.5.